As you noticed, there's two sets of teaching materials, and as I've seen, anyone need any of those? I think everyone has picked them up. Appreciate that. And of course, there'll be some more in the rear for those who return after their holiday period. Exodus. The title here, which I have on the front page of both sets, is Led by God, Led by the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And is that not our desire? Is that not the desire that God was trying to implant in these people under this new covenant? And when we say Lord, we'll see in Exodus that God was with them, constantly with them, talking with Moses, talking to the leaders, talking to the people, in a presence that is really very unique. And because he wanted those people to come to a belief that he is the Lord, and that they place their complete trust, their complete future, and actually their complete existence under that L-O-R-D. So that's what we're going to look at here in Exodus. So consider that. Now, I've got two parts, and I want to look at the second part a second here as we go through that. In this second part, I call it the Supplemental Information and Charts. And that's an interesting set of documents here in these six divisions. And in the first piece, outlines of the book of Exodus, those outlines are basically taken from New American Standard Bible. You know, they have chapter headings, that sort of thing. So that's a good, quick reference for you to see, okay, instead of turning the page of your Bible, you're looking for a specific topic. It's good for that to have. Of course, chapter headings in Bible sometimes are misleading for the full intent of that section, but it's certainly a good guide for you to look at, okay? And it's structured there again on the outlines of the book of Exodus. Now, before I go any farther, if you see any errors, if you see any things that need some correction in wording, or even a verse, okay, it'd be greatly appreciated, okay, if you'd bring that to my attention and I can make those revisions, at least investigate it. And there could be things omitted in these items in the supplemental. So please look at that also as you study that. Now, that's that. Now, when you look at the outlines of the book of Exodus, I have page numbers 1 through 5. Now, beginning in page 6, the places in Exodus. Now, this is a progressive places in Exodus as you go through it. So you can see sometimes association. There's an action associated with it on page 6. I highlighted 12 there. That's passing through the Red Sea. So you can kind of a little dividing point for you in that. This is certainly could be helpful, too, when you're trying to get the large scope and the detailed scope, okay, of this 40 chapters, 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. Now on page 7, there are some locations traveling to Mount Sinai. And in miles, I scaled that, I rescaled it, okay, off of that following colored map, which is past page 7. And that's a 70 kilometer. I converted that from Mike Steve Rudd. So it kind of gives you an idea of the mileage that they traveled in this basically a year. All right. Excuse me. About a year, around 50 days, 45, 50 days. So in that map that you'll see following that, and this is a map that you may want to refer to more than a few times, it definitely has the land of Goshen, which is where they resided, okay? And when they left that area and traveled down and around and then wilderness and that sort of thing. And then and consequently, on the other side is Mount Sinai. Now, right above where it says Arabia on the map, right above that to the left, I placed an M there. An M. And that stands for Midian. Okay? And that's that general area where Moses spent 40 years of his life. Okay? He was married there, and the burning bush and that sort of thing. So that's something to think about on that. Now, that's the Gulf of Aqaba there. Now, again, sometimes you'll see different routes. Sometimes it's a more straightforward route, but this seems to be the route that has the most acceptance. And also fit scripture. So there's a good map to refer to when we think about the actual exodus that they made, the traveling time, okay? And then the observations they made along the way, whether it be the Egyptian chariots, okay, and crossing the Red Sea, which is really probably down there by the bottom of the Gulf of Aqaba. And then also their difficulties in their first battle, okay? And then their complaining. So in that next section, beginning in verse 8, or excuse me, page 8, there's people in Exodus. There's individuals named, and sometimes groups. And this shows for you, for future study and that sort of thing, and for quick reference, the repetition of names, the names that occurred, and also I put in there, you can see that dark shaded area on page 8, deals with the family tree, I guess you'd say, of Levi, of which Moses was from. So be aware of that, and even to the point of dealing with Hebrew women and Deborah and Geshem and Aaron, all of those sort of people. Now, when you get to page 11, which is one of the things to think about, and if we can eventually memorize at least the 10 plagues in order, okay, that'd be good in a reference in this course. But when you deal with the 10 plagues beginning on page 11, those are things that deal with the heart. They're things that deal with attitudes. They're things that deal with the God of heaven, Jehovah God, and the things that he wants accomplished. Does he take his time sometimes? Yes. Okay? But in the end, God knows where he's going with people. Okay? Especially his people. And sometimes along the way, need to be... have difficult times to learn what God has in a plan for us. Difficult times for these people to know that things aren't always easy. Okay? We got God. Going to make it easy. No, there's times for that. Not to mention people who oppose the will of God. And Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, certainly did that. But he paid a price for that, and the whole country paid a price for that. Okay? And, of course, that taught Israel a lesson. Okay? And it also taught the nation states around that a lesson. And not to mention Egypt and the king. Many people die to teach lessons, don't they? And many people do. And not to blame God, but there are things that need to be done to elevate faith, to elevate confidence, and eventually... elevate hope, okay? Knowing that God is the God of heaven and earth, God of creation. Now, there's points on there about each of the plagues, and take note of that, and I've labeled those for you. Again, if you have any additions or changes, please Please let me know about that. And of course, that culminates in the death of the firstborn, which is really pretty dramatic. Okay? So, and that had to break loose the wall that the Pharaoh, and eventually he let them go. Now, on page 14, still dealing with the plagues, and there was some impact on that society. We talked about that, and you'll see that in the plagues, that this impact on a society as a whole has influence on a ruler. Sure, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, claimed deity, but even that broke him in the end, okay? The cries from his people. And again, that affects his leadership, all right? And again, some of those things were inconvenient sometimes, and then eventually get more harsh and more harsh as we went through the plagues. And again, eventually that turned on purely from all people living in Egypt, including the land of Goshen, eventually turned to the Egyptians only in these great problems, great distresses, great deaths. It is more than an inconvenience item for them. And of course, death resulted in that, and eventually the last plague. That was the last one. Now, and also we're dealing with the plagues. There's another category there of how did the Pharaoh respond to it? And we can see in this chart as we progress through the plagues, he tried different ways, not to even think about it. Then he had turned to different ways to try to mitigate it, and then giving in a little more and a little more, even to the point of saying he sinned, which was insincere. Then eventually, it affected so many people, so much of this society in their agriculture and in their cattle, lambs and things, which was really the main part of society because they lived within their boundaries. So eventually that was his response. And again, all that involved the hardening of the heart and that sort of thing. Now, of course, hardening the Pharaoh's heart. I understand I need to look at that maybe God hardened his heart 10 times and then Pharaoh hardened his heart 10 times. So we'll look at that. Now, but again, it all reverts back to the idea of attitude, of pride, those things that really, really cause people to go against God, against his will, against things that are really good for them in the end. So we need to think about that as lessons for us also. And then I got a list there on page 15, Pharaoh's compromises. He certainly compromised a few times, and then eventually killing the firstborn was really, I don't know what, if that happened to 11th plague, I don't know what that had been, okay? But certainly, should have turned off your phones during class so we're not having interruptions. I didn't see anybody's name attached to that, so I'm okay. All right. Then eventually I put some charts in. Of course, that one color chart in the front. But these are some charts that were free usage. And it goes over the 10 plagues. Now, there might be a little conflict between that chart and the items that we listed on those previous pages. But just be aware of that, okay? Sometimes a little more compact helps us out. And also on that chart, when we're dealing with the plagues, we're going to see that these Egyptians were, quote, very religious, unquote. And in that idolatry of that time, to many of those nations. And they had many, many idols that they worshipped. And a lot of these were very specific gods, okay, idols. That they put their confidence and their hope in, whether it's crops or cattle or weather or whatever it is, okay? So this is a chart that deals with that. Now, you'll also find as you research, you'll find that ones who research this and put pen to paper, they'll sometimes choose different gods that may represent the sun, okay, or frogs or that sort of thing. So be aware of that. But generally, this is accepted, okay? Of course, it doesn't deal with the general principle that God is dealing with people who put trust in other so-called deities, gods with a little G. And that's always been the issue, hasn't it? Okay? And to fight that as they travel out of Egypt, okay, through these other domains, meet other peoples, idolatry, idolatry, idolatry. Okay? And God, your God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of all eternity, the God of creation, is a jealous God. And he doesn't want those to divert your attention, okay, and eventually cause you to do things contrary to what Jehovah God wants. So there's at least all these plagues have a purpose. Maybe not seen at that time, okay, but it was a progressive thing dealing with their idols and their deities. And of course, we'll get into that, but the general principle of the plagues is their deities were powerless. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Christian Bible, okay, is much beyond measure more powerful. Okay? And God, his power proved theirs useless. So that's a teaching. That's a teaching also of the plagues, not to mention the destruction and that sort of thing. So there's a chart for that. Now, the giving of the law, page 16. This goes through the law, commandments, good verses, good references, as it progressed from chapter to chapter. So be aware of that, whether they're in Egypt, they're progressing through the Sinai, to the Sinai. And also you'll find in this section, beginning on basically 17, that there's a lot of laws, not, you know, we'll get to that in a minute. There's a lot of laws, a lot of guidance, a lot of things that God wants his people to act and react to situations. And when you see all these, we're going to call them sundry laws, all these little things in life, okay, that you want to guide his people. So you'll see in these 17, all these things about capital punishment, or children, or men quarreling, what happens, okay, if some injury occurs and that sort of thing, borrowing with one another. They're all laws for daily life. Daily life. And they're good laws, good ordinances, okay? And that was part of the things and how you treat one another. Remember, these people who came out of Egypt had been associated with, had been mixed in with, they knew idolaters, and they knew the trust that those Egyptians put in idols and how they reacted, okay, how they treated one another. So God wants to make his people, again, that unique, special people. So he had these laws here, ordinances, and that would deal with one another, deal with others, okay, who are not of the tribe. So, and that, not to mention the feasts, not to mention the feasts and the Sabbath day and all those things specifically directed towards Jehovah God. There's a lot of things that Jehovah God had to put together, okay, through Moses to help guide his people. Yes, it is. Yes, in Matthew 22, and that is the underlying principle, okay? And a lot of these deal with neighbors and also deal directly with God. And those are things that we need to remember, okay? And that's that. Now, again, the Sabbath days, the national feasts. I was going to say something about that. But then you have a conquest of the land on verse page 19. And then and there's a covenant involved in all this, okay? Of course, the covenant with Abraham, okay? And, of course, the sons of Israel, Jacob. But then also, there's this idea, and the value of it, this covenant here he makes with these people at this time, okay? This agreement with them that you do this and I'll do this, okay? Conditional. And as many of you good Bible students know, that as you progressed into the remaining books, okay, of the Old Testament, and to the remaining travels after they receive the law at Mount Sinai, which is at the end of Exodus, these people had a lot of doubts, a lot of lack of faith, a lot of rebellion, and it cost many of them their lives. So they need to know that their God is protecting them and with them, and that there's a covenant involved. You know, it used to be sometimes you had to raise your hand and make an oath. And that has some impact. It has some impact when you do that, isn't it? When you verbalize it, you put the visual with it. Okay? Not to mention the proof behind it that they had in their memory when this covenant here was made at the end of this, that they had the 10 plagues in their mind. They had how God had led them through this wilderness up to Mount Sinai. And so there's a lot of things dealing with when you make a covenant. And God is not just believe in me, that's it. God says, here's some proof. Here's the proof. Here's the proof. So that's that. Okay? Yes, yes, ma'am. Doesn't he always? Be careful of oaths, witnessing, okay? Which promises, okay? We can say covenant, we can say promises too, can't we? Okay? And we've seen them throughout history, whether they're conditional or non-conditional. Oaths and promises, okay? Things that God will do. We'll get into see some of that later on. Now, beginning in verse 20, the tabernacle, the furnishings, the priest's comment, the garments. Well, is this the dry area? Is this the part we skip over? Is this the part we throw into one lesson? I think not. I think there's a lot of value in understanding the purposes and the impact that these furnishings inside the tabernacle, each one had a specific purpose and a usage, and not to mention the Levitic tribe minding, taking care of these different furnishings in the tabernacle, not to mention the presence of God, okay, in this, whether in a cloud or whatever. So when we deal with this, we're going to think about that, and with the showbread or the ark, okay, lampstands, that sort of thing. Now, some of this I may not grasp completely, and appreciate your help on that. But the idea that God specifically said these items here for you to understand me and what I would desire from you, and this gave them symbolism, if you want to call it, okay. But God took it very seriously, okay. Even the idea that and the fact that if they didn't, the Levitical tribe, administering inside these furnishings in the tabernacle, they didn't do prepare themselves correctly. If they didn't put their whole heart and mind into it and read the laws and things that had already been revealed to them, they died. So when they were in that tabernacle, okay, when they were in that tent there, okay, it was very special. Very special. It deserved their complete 100% attention all the time. That's why that tribe was tasked to do that, the Levitical tribe. Okay? Now, so we'll look at that. And of course, there's dimensions and all that sort of thing. And basically, it was 100 by 75 feet. I was going to measure this building, maybe including the classroom, 75 feet. You know, maybe 150 foot this way. I don't know. But that the outside curtains and that sort of thing was maybe the size of this building, including the classrooms. So it's things to think about, what they carried around with them. And it's not in Exodus, but the different tribes were assigned to handle different pieces of that, which many of you know. But that's all important. Everyone had a task. Everyone, it was a structured society. And not just haphazard. Their religion was not haphazard. God wanted them to be specific. He wanted them to be dedicated. He wanted them to be do these things, and I'll bless you. And I'll bless you. Don't do them, and you will not be blessed. And is that not what God has always said? Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't add to or take away. So there's things that we'll see in this new people together, his own people. Okay? And as we get to the end of this, and of course it's made out of different mat and that sort of thing, and there were specific people. Let me say this real quick about this. When you deal about dimensions here, and you deal about the materials used, and how they acquired the materials to do these sort of things with the outer tent and the inner tabernacle, those are things that God had planned for. Even from back in Egypt, things they had taken out of Egypt and eventually used here. Okay? The materials to make this. So God had his plan. Okay, even when they left Egypt, to bring those materials necessary for this, and again, pick them up along the way. Now, and after, I got some charts after page 23, and of course, the design of the tabernacle. The design of the tabernacle, and that's things to think about. Again, there's certain things they wanted to do. Certain offerings they made, all these sort of things were what God wanted. And I think that's important to look at, all right? Now, of course, they carried this temporary, I guess you'd say, okay, this constructed tabernacle, okay? They carried that all the way until Solomon, didn't they? They build the temple there. So it's interesting how long they use the materials. Okay? And of course, I'm sure there was some rework along the way and that sort of thing. But the point is, that it's very sacred and very monumental, very in the front of their minds, the representation, okay, of God's with them in this tabernacle and the furnishings and then the many offerings they made. There's a lot of them when you got a million people, a lot of people, okay? And now, on that next page, tabernacle furnishings, I guess we've all seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, I guess. And that's one, just one, but they all had specific usages and that sort of thing. And then I've got in the last chart, the key tabernacle pieces, part one. And it deals with that. Again, this is a printed document, so what they symbolize, we'll have to re-examine that, okay? And it's part two on the key tabernacle pieces. And then at the last couple of items and charts I got at tabernacle facts, a part one and a part two, okay? And a part three. And there's just things to think about, the materials they used. You know, they used metals. They didn't use things that rusted. They used metals that had longevity to them, resisted corrosion and rust. Okay? gold and silver and brass, bronze, okay? Those things that had some structure to them. And God knew that. And God was specific on each of these usages, each of the materials used. It was all detailed from God, okay? Through the mind of a couple of men that built all this. Now, all right. And then in the last couple of sheets, we got the priests. And you've got these priests that, what can I say? They were leaders. They were examples. They were men with great, great responsibilities. Okay? And talk about a structured mind. Okay? They really had to be structured or the consequences are pretty fatal. But they were singled out for that as that tribe of Levi. And again, each of the garments they used, and this is, I looked around, I was looking around for the representations of the garment and then the specific pieces that hung on the high priest in this case. And there's kind of a variety out there, you know, in the net. And even some present day ones. But this seemed to be one that captured all of the items in reference to what the high priest wore. Okay? And I thought that was good for that. Whether it goes from the breastplate, you know, that represents 12 stones, that represent the 12 tribes, whatever it is. And they all had different things. Even to the idea of the length of the tunic. Okay? God even dealt with that and how you do these sacrifices that you wouldn't be able to see any up under the tunic. Okay? Because that would divert you, see, from what purpose of them gathering and the worship they were doing. So there's a lot of things dealing with that. And again, these are for reference. And then the last piece is the priest and the priesthood. There's some duties there and a chart. And origins deals with all that sort of thing. So these priests, tribe of Levi, had specific duties. And not to mention gaining their sustenance, their living, their food, those sort of things from sacrifices. Some of the sacrifices, yes. Burnt offerings, no. Okay, that's completely burnt up. But all those sort of things were to support them. So it was a good, cohesive, everyone had duties, the 12 tribes, when they left, per God's instructions. They all had duties, they had things to do, whether it's warrior work, okay, or worship things, okay, or providing for one another. It was a great family, okay? Jacob's offspring that lived, okay, for do the things of God in direction. Did they falter? Yep, they had problems. Did they murmur? Yeah, I heard them then, all right? Over and over, okay? But God got frustrated sometimes, but Moses would come back and say, well, let's give another chance, all right? So there's things involved there that they were in a growing stage. And as you see the rest of the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, they did falter, didn't they? They did get idolatry. They did do the things that displeased God. They did not honor Jehovah God. But all this, or there's a plan running through all this, beginning in Genesis, okay, that God of heaven was culminating in Christ, salvation through him, okay? And that's the eternal part of it, okay? So God had a plan from the beginning, again, from Genesis through your entire scriptures, Holy Scriptures. So that's that, okay? So there's some value in that supplemental information. And if anyone knows additional ones, that's fine. Let me know and I'll get those for you. I was trying to figure how to distinguish the front and each one, so that's why I put the red supplemental information. All right. Now, I took mine in the book and I put the clip kind of close to the hole. And that way you can kind of, if you want to get to it real quick, you can turn, find it, and then you can get to that second part a little quicker, because when you take that out, it all kind of runs together in the book. Or you can get you a colored page, you put it in there, tag or something. Okay. But I wanted to have that information for you. In addition to all the questions I've got in the first section, those are things for you to have. Those are things for you to work on. Those are things that are going to benefit you personally, and ones you would teach, okay, in future times. Even going through this course, you're going to learn things like you say, oh, yeah, that's there, or well, I didn't know that, or this is a larger explanation for it, or there's more than one item involved. But to be aware of that is the history of God's people. And if we keep thinking about that, we'll please God, okay? So there's a lot of material in here, and sometimes it's too much, okay? But the questions are in the front. Okay, now, with a couple of minutes left, I started on my title, Led by the Lord. Led by the Lord. And this is what he did. He did for these chosen people. Again, as a result of the covenant that he made in Genesis 12 with Abraham. And Moses and the children of Israel exit Egypt. And that's what we're going to do. Moses with the children of Israel exit Egypt. And there's a work in there. There's a few chapters dealing with Moses as we begin Exodus, okay? That tale of his land leaving Midian, okay? Being the burning bush. The idea of him in the floating in the Nile River and being found, okay? But that's a few chapters on that. And then you start getting into the maturity part of Exodus. Okay. Now, and then traveled to Mount Sinai to receive the law. And we've talked about the law again when I was dealing with the supplemental material. There's a lot of things that beyond the Ten Commandments. It goes on and on. And those are laws for everyday living. Everyday living in association with neighbors. Everyday associations with your own brethren, okay? Everyday associations that you may have with ones who are outside and not of these tribes with this heritage, okay? Jewish heritage. So there are really laws that are time-tested. There are laws that deal with their specific time and the society they were in. But also laws that deal with us, how to treat people, one another, okay? And things that are good and pleasing to God. Yes, Ennis?
Your child.
Yeah.
Another
heart. Yeah.
The Lord feeding us through his word.
Yes. It's an interesting point, isn't it? We have all this background with us, being led by the Lord today. With all this background, the physical presence of him, the physical wonders and signs that he had were there, present. Okay? Still, guess what? There was rebellion, distrust.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting point. Did the 10th plague break him?
Not really.
Not really.
Well,
what broke him? Yeah, the Red Sea or Reed Sea broke him. Okay. Yeah, okay. And with 1 minute left, I'm not sure yet whether we do a timetable for the 10 plagues or not. Okay. It is interesting, though.
Egyptians would know that he is the Lord, but that the Israelites would know that he is the Lord. And then he did the plagues, and then
again, the proof you talk about is the idea that all the nations around saw that. Okay? And again, great, great point. Okay? All right, thank you. We'll continue with the course next time. Bless each of you.